Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 614. I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
I killed the Empress of the Southern Empire with my battle axe, accidentally.
You accidentally kill somebody with an axe?
I actually still don't know what that means. I mean, I know what the words mean. The combination of them, I don't know if it's a good or a bad thing. I mean, it sounds like a bad thing, but I didn't know if you intended to kill her.
So in Mountain Blade 2, Bannerlord, you can, like, the lords appear in the game as you're fighting in the battles, and you can, like, take them down. Normally, when you take them down, they get knocked unconscious, and you can ransom them. But for some reason, in this particular instance, I hit her in the head with my battle axe, and she died. Ransom there for the dead body.
No. Maybe lots of pissed off subjects.
Yes, the Southern Empire is very angry with me at the moment. I don't know why.
I can't imagine why either.
Earl, it has returned.
Yes, that was... I will say I permitted no regicide, patricide, or any other sides while we were gone. But yes, I so intended to join last week. But you know, famously, I don't know, Wednesdays are my game nights. That's been kind of my thing since I graduated college. And like, usually we're done by 11 because, again, you know, we're old folks, so we want to go to sleep for work the next day. So in my head, I'm like, okay, let me finish by 11 and I can hop on the podcast. They're like, you know, we got nothing to do tomorrow. We were all drinking. I'm finished at 12:30. So we're like, yeah, we can take down this. We were playing Wild Dance, and we're just going after a bunch of different terrorist groups. And like, we took out a big circle. I mean, I think it's a weird reconstructed game, because I think now we can get to the final boss, but we've only done like half of the chains. But I guess it doesn't matter. That is how I spent the night before Thanksgiving. Killing terrorists in Bolivia.
Literally.
Jeff is here as well.
Everybody killed me in Call of Duty.
That's true.
Except you were the number one player on your team.
Yeah, I was earlier today. not so much.
Is that like the best Jamaican bobsledder?
Yeah, pretty much. Well, I posted a screenshot of like me. I came in first earlier today. Our team lost by 20 points. So,
yeah, those are the hollow victories, aren't they?
I saw that. It's like you were first on your team overall, and I think you would have placed fourth on the other team.
Something
and,
like that.
And like the rest of your team was terrible.
Yeah, like most of the team had less than 10 kills. I'm like, what are you doing?
You would think even by accident you'd get more than that.
Oh, you'd be surprised. Some of my friends who just got the game, I was just playing with them just now in our last match. The two guys in the bottom, I think, had I think they had 9 kills. I don't know. I shouldn't talk. I'm terrible too. So sometimes I do okay.
Oh, trash! They're not hitting it themselves.
Yeah.
Ick being the best right now on your out of your friend group. it's like yes, I will teach you the ways.
There's two guys in our group that are just like natural at shooters. They're already fucking pretty great.
Good. I mean, then
maybe take them on.
That's them to train everybody else.
And then there's two guys that are worse than me, so I feel okay. I'm like right in the middle.
That's good, because then you're like, I'm not the worst. Yeah. I brought you guys into this game.
Don't get mad at me.
Yeah, so Thanksgiving happened. End of the month happened, and we're now into December, wrapping up the year. Some news Not anything big, but they announced the Games with Gold and the PlayStation Plus stuff. Games with Gold is... Yikes.
I mean, yeah. I think people have been predicting that for a while with Game Pass, but, like, yeah, I don't know that last time I actually claimed any Games with Gold. Because I feel like they're just not worth it.
Yeah, no. I don't even know what these games... I've never heard of these games before. Colt Canyon and Bladed Fury.
No, I get him like, oh man, these are like some indie games. It's like, never heard of them. Not even going to pretend that gets an interesting selection of games.
Yeah. And then compared to what Sony's offering, it's brutal.
Yeah, Sony's bunch is quite nice.
Yeah, Mass Effect Legendary Edition, which is three pretty great games. Biomutant, which it's not great. I wouldn't even say it's good, but it's at least a game that you may have heard of. And something called Divine Knockout, but I don't know. Compared to the Xbox Games with Gold stuff, it's whoo, it's sad over there. Monster Hunter Rise is coming to Xbox, PlayStation, and it's going to be on Game Pass early next year,
January 23rd, I think, or.
That sounds right. January 20th.
Good game.
You already played it, right, Jeff?
Yeah, it's good.
Is it like World, or is it more like regular, like old Monster Hunter?
I don't know. I don't know what the difference is, but I think it's like World. Or I don't know
was more streamlined, like with the way, like, you know, armor and weaponry worked. I thought it was like less like collecting, like you still like got armor pieces from collecting stuff off of giant monsters, but
yeah,
you needed like less of them, I think, in World.
I don't know it. When I played Rise, it reminded me of World a lot, except you had a sweet, like hookshot thingy. Grappling hook, if you will. That's
the term, yep.
All right. Well, I could see maybe checking that out early next year. Early next year is packed with games, though, so.
It is weird, isn't it?
Yeah, after a whole year of not being packed with games.
Yep.
We're going to cram everything into the first 3 months of next year.
It feels like two very different. But granted, I feel like we say this every year because a lot of years start off strong because a lot of them have games held over. And then like the games that like we're going to be in the back half get pushed to the new year.
Yeah.
And you instant repeat. I will say, I was talking to somebody recently and I was just like, it is weird, though, that this is going to be the third year of these systems, and I feel like they're still kind of getting their introductory legs under them.
Yeah, I mean, Ragnarok, which just came out, right? That's still a PlayStation 4 game.
Yeah.
It's something, at least.
Yeah, that's, I mean,
what is, what is true. Microsoft doing, man?
Nothing?
Yeah.
Releasing $10 indie games for free on Games with Gold.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess that High on Life comes out. I don't know if that's not them though, right? That's just a Game Pass title.
Yeah, I don't think it's them. They, you know, it's time to like put some games out.
I mean, it'd be nice.
You own all these. You own like half the fucking studios now.
Well, speaking of owning half of the studios, I guess news came out that Microsoft met with Sony over the holiday weekend to discuss the Activision merger and try to, I guess, give them concessions so they'd stop fighting it. Not much has really kind of come out of that. But this, you know, early last week, the FTC had leaked that they were probably going to file some sort of antitrust lawsuit to block the deal. And then over in Europe, there's issues still happening there. So who knows what's going on with that? It seems to be a mess.
Yeah, that is a way to describe it.
So yeah, that's all I had. I don't know if you guys caught anything else news wise.
Well, I don't know if it's I apologize. I don't know how much you folks talked about Pokemon last week, but like Nintendo did come out and say, yeah, we kind of hear you. We're going to patch the game eventually. At least for the bugs that a lot of people have been complaining about online. So yeah.
Some of those bugs are amazing.
Yeah. It's kind of like, I don't know, some of it reminds me of, I was going to say BioWare, but not BioWare, Bethesda games. And yes, I understand the fun. Everybody's like, yeah, now we can make fun. Now we can like criticize Pokemon. I'm like, I don't know what you, I didn't know it stopped you folks in the past, but.
Right. Well, like, I mean, generally what I've been hearing is like, and I've heard this from my kids too, like, yeah, there are bugs, but it's like the best Pokemon game, the most enjoyable experience people have had in a Pokemon game in years. Like, yeah. It doesn't matter that it's been, and that's the great thing about Bethesda games, right? It's like you don't care about the bugs because everything else is so great. And like those bugs happen because you're in this huge open world where there's no way a developer can anticipate every possible way you interact with everything. And weird shit happens sometimes because of that. Sorry, go ahead.
No, it's because people are right to criticize. I mean, it happens, and I don't for that. It's just really weird when people are like, "Oh, they haven't said anything in a week, or they haven't put out a patch." It's like it's the same time that we always fight about. Like, we don't want crunch culture. So how are you expecting these people to put out a patch over the holiday weekend? Or, like, you know, like, okay, this game's been out less than 2 weeks now, I think. So you'd have to test that and stuff, and everybody's like, "Oh no, they're not going to fix it. They've not said anything." And I'm just like, it's been 2 weeks. Give them some time. Like, I'm not saying don't criticize what's there now, but don't, like a lot of people are just it's like, oh, they're not this game. They never patched Pokemon games. And somebody pointed out they've patched a lot of Pokemon games. For some reason or another. I mean, it's not. Again, it's a massive franchise, a lot of moving parts. You can point to examples, but there's really nothing that compares to it where you can be like, oh yeah, but these people figured it out. So, I don't know.
Did you get Pokemon Earl?
No.
I think it's just Tony's kids playing it, I guess.
Yes, obsessively. Like, they have played nothing else since release day.
That was the other thing, and again, I don't know how much you folks have talked about it last week, but it's like the one of the fastest selling games of all time. What is it, 13 million in 3 days or something like that?
Yes.
So yeah, it's like one of those things where it's like you can shout into your face until you're blue in the face, but there's clearly an audience that does not care, or like you just kind of accept it as part of Pokemon that. It's going to be this janky.
Yeah. Especially as they, you know, transition to this new open world
format. Kind
of, yeah. Speaking of janky, Jeff, you've been playing some Need for Speed. I don't remember the subtitle for it.
Unbound.
Unbound. How's that?
kind of a miserable experience. I wouldn't call it janky though. I don't think it feels like undone. I just think it feels poorly done. I don't know.
Like just poorly designed. Like it's not broken. It's just broken. And it's not like technically broken. It's
yeah. I don't think. I mean,
it's more fundamentally the way they've structured it.
Fundamentally flawed video game. Yeah. Yeah, Need for Speed, Unbound, Criterion, can't go wrong, right?
I mean, for years they've made their legacy on arcade racers, so you would think.
They've made some of my favorite racing games of all time. Like, if I had to make a list of my top 10 favorite racing games, at least three of their games would be on it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so I'm like, I'm on vacation this week, like not doing anything, sitting around the house. I saw that there was like a 3-day early version that you could buy. And, you know, one, Criterion, they have a good track record. And two, I like looking at footage of the game, I was like, this looks really cool. It has like this, cool, like cartoony, like cell shaded look to it. Like, I don't know. I think some people will not like that art style, but I think it looks really neat. And like when you're driving around, like when you drift, like little like cartoon clouds of smoke will be coming off your tires and shit. Like, I think it looks really cool. And the game does look cool and it plays well, but like, I don't, I'm not having a good time with Need for Speed Unbound, man. And like, it's just, I mean, the short version of it is it's very, very fucking hard. And why that is because unlike other Need for Speed games where you're just like constantly getting new cars and they're fucking awesome and shit, like here it's like this story mode where you start off with like just a regular kind of shitty car. And like, you're not as, they put you in races with AI racers that are just faster than you, like flat out. Like, you could not miss, you know, you could miss every car in your way, not get hit by the cops. And it's just like, you're at top speed and you cannot catch like the first three racers in a race. So it's like,
and other racing games have done stuff like that, but like where this seems to differ from what you've been saying is that you're not really getting anything to progress and make yourself better by losing. So,
I mean, a little bit locked, a little bit, but there's like a really horrendous risk reward system to progressing. I'll get to in a second, but like, yeah, it's just one, you're not getting like a ton of new cars. Like, even though you start with that one shitty car, it's all about building up that shitty car. So like buying parts for it. Like, theoretically you could buy other cars, but they're like, you're never going to make the amount of money it takes to like buy these other cars. So I don't understand. Like even if I was winning races, like it wouldn't be enough. You know what I mean? So you're just like slowly building up your car. And the game has like a calendar to it where you start your week on like Sunday or whatever, and then you play through till Saturday, which is like your big qualifier event for the week. And, you know, as I built up my car, by the time I finally did reach this qualifier event, I was able to like kind of keep up with the other racers. And after a few tries, I made it through the qualifier. But then like, as soon as the next week started, even though I had built my car up, it just felt like all of a sudden it's too slow again. Like, you're just never having fun, man. It's like, I'm never getting over this hump. And to like make matters worse, we have this risk reward system, which is like, so there's a day night cycle. You go out during the day and that's when the quote unquote easier races are. And then when you head back to your garage, it makes it night. And that's when you're like, the harder races are. They're all fucking hard, but that's when the harder races are at night, but the bigger payouts. But throughout the day, you're like, every race you do, you build up heat with the cops. Like, your wanted level goes up. So during the day, you could do one race, and then you'll get like a 1-star wanted level. And you could go to your garage and make it night, and then do your night thing. Or you could do more races. Like, there's a bunch of shit to do.
Right.
But the game disincentivizes you to do that, because every race that you do, your wanted level is going to go up. So that by the time, like, if you go do two races during the day and then you'll just do one at night, by that point, you're going to have a 5-star wanted level. And it's like worse than fucking GTA by a million. Like, these cops are never, ever going to give up trying to get you. And if they get you, you lose all your money that you've made that day. So, like, let's say you struggled with a race. You retried it fucking 10 times during the day, and you finally came in third place and got some fucking money out of it. At night, the cops are taking all that fucking money from you. It's just like the game is like constantly putting you between a rock and a hard place, and it just feels like hitting your head against the fucking wall. Like, it's just not fun, dude. Like,
is there any way to skip the night races, or are you locked into doing them?
You could go out at night and then just head back to your garage, I guess.
But like, it's not fun, right? Because like, you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. But just wondering if that's a way to like kind of at least
you up build against up the your bank. It puts you up against the calendar, because you're not going to be making enough money doing that,
right?
Which means you're not going to build up your car enough, and you're going to get to Saturday. That's the other thing I forgot to say. You have to pay to fucking race. So, like, the money that you win, it'll be like, the buy-in for this race is $3,000. I'm like, dude, I have $4,000. Like, what the fuck, dude? You're making me buy into a race that I probably, like, if you place below fourth place, you're going to end up losing money on the race. Like, and the buy-in at the end of the week for, like, the big event, it'll be like, for week one, it was $20,000. I was just like, how the fuck am I going to get $20,000? And I somehow did. Week two, I have, like... I don't even know if I'm going to keep playing this game. I fucking really hate it. But, like, week two, the buy-in's $50,000. I'm like, okay, if it's a $50,000 buy-in for the big race that week, and I have to pay to do all the other races, how am I paying to unlock cars or improve the one or two cars that I do have? It sucks, dude. Like, I don't get it, dude. It fucking sucks. Like, I really fucking hate it. Like, because I would, like... Like, fundamentally, the game plays good, and, like, some of that, like, what I've described, I think are kind of cool ideas, but it's just, like, they overdid it on everything a little bit. Like, one idea I think I was telling you guys today is, like, when you go back to your garage during the day, from day to night, it should just reset your wanted level, instead of making it, like, stack all day and increasing the risk the whole time. It's just, like, I don't know. I don't know if it's fixable, to be honest, but, like, I find the game... really, really miserable, and I'm really interested to see what like the reviews on it are, because like the day I bought it, the only reviews that were out there were like YouTube channels, and it was, you know, you could tell it's people that like bought the game and played for 3 hours and knew enough that they could describe the system I just described to you. And they're like, oh, it's right. Pretty fucking sweet. And it's like, yeah, the first 3 hours I was playing, I thought it was pretty cool too. I'm like, oh, it's a little challenging. Like, it didn't like, it doesn't become apparent until like, as you go along, you're just like, why is this game like constantly beating me up? Like, what is this? So I'm interested to see what like real reviews are like from, you know, people who review for a living and whatnot, like from critics. And also, I don't know when we'll get those, because as far as I know, they didn't send out review copies to people.
They didn't want it reviewed, because they...
I guess. I don't know.
The whole thing with this is weird. So it was, like, announced, like, in September, if I remember correctly. Here's... The new Need for Speed is coming. Oh, and it's coming, you know, in 3 months. It's like, all right. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. Like Nintendo does that often, where they're like, hey, here's this game coming, and it's really soon. But that's not normally how EA operates.
Yeah, I feel like you usually know about the new Need for Speed game. And then it was just, like, silence on it, not showing it off. Yeah,
no advertising. Like, I mean, EA is, they're huge in, like, advertising during football games and stuff, and I've not seen anything for this game. really weird.
But yeah, in my opinion, it is just a constant uphill battle and a grind. And it never feels like I'm getting over that hill. And the ancient, and I, you know, I have a theory now as to why it's like this. Because I found out by talking to people on Reddit and shit that the game is only 4 weeks long. So I'm like, you know what? There's not really a lot of content to this game.
Wait, how much did it cost?
It cost me $70
game.
Why, Jeff? Why did you do this? Why?
I told you why. I told, because I was on vacation. I was like, oh.
I like Need for Speed.
Yeah, I love racing games. You know, I've rarely played a racing game I don't like. You know, I thought it was a kind of a sure bet. And especially, you know, these are the guys that have made Burnout Paradise, Most Wanted, Burnout 3, like, just some of the best games ever. And I don't know. I think your theory that it was a rushed game might be right, because that might explain why, in actuality, it's kind of a short game, and they're kind of papering over that with just cranking everything up and making it really hard to get through, you know?
Right.
I'll be interested, because, like, I don't feel like it's me. I've played a lot of racing games, dude. You know what I mean? Like, it's a genre I love. It's not like I, you know, got into something I didn't know what I was getting myself into, and I was like, oh, these racing games are hard. It's like, no, I've played tons of racing games. This is, like, beyond hard. It's, like, impossible. Like, I'll be interested, because, like, none of the early reviews really mentioned that. Like, some people say, oh, it's fairly challenging, but it's like, I was like, yeah, dude, that's how I felt about it the first couple hours. After that, it became very quickly became like annoying. And
you want to make progress in the game, even if it's like little. And this seems to be handcuffing you and being like, nope, we're gonna penalize you and like push you back to the start.
It's progress as hard as possible. It's just like, even if you get through this and this and that, guess what? At night, your cops are probably going to be up your ass if you did anything. And, like, no joke, man. Those cops are relentless. Like, I got out of it. I posted the video of me getting out of it last night. But, like I had a 5-star wanted level. They chased me around for, like, 30 minutes before somehow I got into, like, a weird field behind a building. And they somehow fucking lost me. And I killed my engine. And they're like, all right, we're calling it off. And I'm like, oh, thank God, the pursuit's over. So I just went back to my standard 4-star level. And the way that should work is it's if they see you, they start to spot you. But if you, like, drive past them really fast, you'll get away from them spotting you. And you're good. They were always just in fucking high alert. Like, I was just sitting in this fucking field behind a building with a fucking helicopter swirling around, doing like these tiny little circles over my head, cops driving in circles around the block. And I'm like, holy shit, dude. Like, I let it sit there for like another 20 fucking minutes, and they never ever went away. And I've just finally had to wait till like the helicopter moved a little bit to the right and a cop turned to one corner, and I had like a little narrow path and I fucking booked it out of there. And I'm just like, it's just not fun, dude. And like Need for Speed games, you shouldn't be constantly getting cool like cars and shit. You shouldn't be forced into doing the like building up this shitty fucking, like, I don't want to drive around in a fucking Mitsubishi Eclipse the whole game, dude. Like, yeah, fuck and you.
That's always been Criterion's thing too. Is like, I mean, you know, Burnout 3, you know, Need for Speed, Hot Pursuit, Need for Speed Most Wanted. Like, every other race, you're getting a new car. And there's not an upgrade system in those games. Like, they're pure arcade racers. But still, it's like, it's kind of the thing with arcade racers is you want to get this, like, vast livery of, you know, vast garage of cars. That, yeah, you're going to, like, put, like, different decals on and shit to make them look your way, but it's not Gran Turismo or Forza, where it's, like, you're going to build a car, and this is going to be your car for the next 7 hours.
I mean, I'm fine. You know, I feel like I've seen arcade racers that you could do that if you want.
Yeah.
I feel like Horizon's a little like that, right? Like you could.
Oh, yeah, you could totally parts, like right? lock. Yeah, you can lock into your car and be like, "This is the one I want." But it also like is always dropping cars on your head and like, "Hey, yeah, you want to try both. This one?"
Like I'm conditioned, like you said, from playing Criterion games. Like you kind of expect that. Like I'm fine if you want to have an upgrade system in there, and for people that want to buy parts and stuff, that's cool. I'd actually, like, I don't mind that if it really felt like I was getting somewhere. And, like, or at least getting some, like, some cars, dude. Like, something, like. There's races that'll pop up at night where it's like you could win a car off of, but the buy-in will be like $12,000. You get nothing. You could, if you play second, you're not getting any money. You're not getting the car. You're not getting anything. It's like all or nothing. Like you're getting first place and you get the car as your reward, or you get nothing. And it's like, well, seeing as how I can never get first place, I think I've gotten first place in two races. Out of how, I don't know how many I've played, you know.
Should probably note that, like, you tune down the difficulty a bit here.
Oh, yeah. Right? I'm playing on relaxed setting.
Yeah, which in most racing games is, like, that's almost
an assured,
like, first or second place finish in most racing games when you play on a lower difficulty like that. This is nuts.
I do wonder if they, like, tweak things, like... I wonder if this game is fixable by doing little tweaks here and there, like actually making the relaxed setting where you could, like, you know, at least get in top three pretty easy. You know what I mean? Like,
you tune down the AI a bit.
They really need to
up the rewards a bit.
They need to fix the aggressiveness on the cops too, because after you evade a pursuit, they should not be like it. That almost does seem like a glitch that they're like stuck going in circles over you. It's like, dude, you called it off. Why are you guys still, like, pounding me? Like, I can't get out of the... Like, I'm trapped in a box. Like, anyways, I feel like I got, like, everything I had to say about this game out. Like, yeah. I really dislike it. I might keep playing with it a little bit to see if I could get somewhere eventually, but I'm also, like, I'm half of the mind to just fucking delete it and forget it ever happened.
There's other stuff coming out this week, so.
Well, that was my other thinking too. I was like, we make Christmas lists for each other. You know, so it's like I put Callisto and this on there, and I told her, like, are you planning on getting either of these games? She's like, I don't know. And I was like, well, let me get this one Need for Speed, and I'll have the one I'm really looking forward to. Like, I am
for Christmas.
Thank God I did it that way, because if she had got me this Need for Speed for Christmas, she would have seen me cursing it out.
Tell,
like,
her personally responsible.
She would have felt bad seeing how bad I'm getting at it. You know, like, so thank God, because I know Callisto Protocol, will be good. Although I was watching an interview with Glenn Schofield or Field, whatever, the director. He was answering, like, questions from Twitter, and one of the questions is like, bruh, why is Elden Ring so hard? And he said, I don't know, man, I haven't played it. And he's like, but that's, like, the trend in games now, is to make them a little harder. And he's like, and, you know, I think you'll see that on our new game too, that we're making a little bit harder. So I was like, oh, I do think I'm gonna like it though. Like, I'm not worried about that game. Where are the reviews for that? Does that come out like tomorrow?
It's tomorrow, yeah. I mean, that's a smaller game. I mean, it's not a big name publisher, put it that way.
It's all the more reason to get out there. Like, nobody's I mean, how many of us read the Call of Duty review this year?
Is this their first game, Chris?
Yeah.
I mean, but he's an established, like, I know who he is, you know what I mean? He's an established guy.
He's the guy who co-created Dead Space. I don't know who this Krafton, they're the ones publishing it, Krafton Inc. It's a South Korean company, so I've never heard of them. They might just not have a good PR team here in the US. It is weird that, like, you know, it's pretty, like, for us, like, knowledge-wise, it's a pretty big game, and not, as, like, Girl said, not seeing the reviews is a little weird, but.
Well, I'm looking forward to it. I hope it's good.
Yeah, me too. Because I am buying it, so that'll be super disappointing if it's not good. Earl, you play anything besides Wildlands?
Yes, I guess. I played a little game called Sonic Frontier. I started a little game called Sonic Frontier.
Never heard of it.
No, need to have eye. It was on sale for what, $29 on Black Friday, and I thought that was that seemed like a really good deal for a game that was like 2 weeks old at the time. So I'm really early, and I think I'll be paid like the first hour or so, if that. And I'm not gonna say it's game of the year, but and this kind of shows how where we are with Sonic. Don't hate it. It controls well so far. Sonic does what I wanted to do. The camera's aimed usually in a general direction that I want it to be aimed at, that I can see stuff. Combat seems competent. Like I said, I'm early on right now. It does seem like it's an open world for the sake of openness. Like, it's very... Like, they do fill it out, but so far it seems very barren. Like, you go around and it's like... I mean, I assume as you get further in the game, it gets more complicated. Right now, it's a lot of, like, step on panels or run around in a circle puzzles.
Not barren. You just can't see anything further than 20 feet away.
That I don't know if that makes it better or worse.
Bad pop-in?
I haven't noticed a pop-in, really, but, yeah, it's just, like, I mean, maybe to Jeff, like, it just feels like it's a wide open space where, like, you'll randomly see some rings and a ramp, and it's like, oh, okay, like, there's not a ton to do in it so far. There's a ton of collectibles, but I don't necessarily know if that's a positive thing. So, yeah. Yeah, and I like how they, I mean, so far I like how they've incorporated the aspects of, like, traditional Sonic. Like, his side characters are kind of, well, so far we've met Amy, I think, who's like a hologram, and you get pieces to talk to her and unlock stuff. And then, like, the actual levels are like traditional Sonic stages you can unlock, and then kind of like most 3D Sonic games, you can replay them for, like, you know, like beat the stage in X number of time, collect the 5 golden rings, or red rings, I should say. You know, like, defeat the stage in a certain, with a certain number of rings, or more than that ring count. And I think the last one is, my speed. It could compete quick, which I've not done. I assume, and Jeff could, like, I assume that's stuff that you do later on once you, like, upgrade his speed and his abilities to get through stages faster.
You should be able to do it without that.
Okay. Well, I've not tried them multiple times.
You got to kind of do them because the
I assume so.
That objectives gives you the keys, which I think let you get the Chaos Emeralds.
Yes.
You need to get 4 Chaos Emeralds in each stage to turn into Super Sonic, and then you get to fight the big old boss guy.
Oh, so it's so there's islands.
Yeah.
Okay, that's gonna be fun.
Yeah, like, you're in, you know, the first level. Like, every level is, like, an open world, and they're pretty big, you know, but, like, like, you'll get a whole other, like, you know, once you're done with this area, you'll be in a desert world and stuff. It's like, they didn't really show that. All you ever saw, like, leading up to the release was just kind of, like, that first area you're in, so, like, I could see why people would just assume, like, this is the whole game, like.
Yes, I would also say, and I assume that will change later on, too. Like, right now, a lot of the enemies are they are very generic, and I assume that is something that gets better throughout the course of the game.
What enemies? Like,
all of them.
like the guardians that are wandering along the levels, like the...
Yeah, it's like the little tiny robot things, and like the orb thing that shocks you, like the one that has like the shell that you have to zigzag around and knock that up. They're all very generic-looking things.
Yeah, I'd say that it does not improve. If I hear what you're saying, I don't think it... A lot of, like, the... There's, like, these guardian things that you'll get, like, locked into a battle. Or not locked in, but you'll, like... It almost feels like you're in a boss fight with them. They'll repeat. You'll see, like, there's, like, a tower thing where you have to, like, take out the stacks of the tower, and then he gets small enough that you can hit his head and attack his head. It's like, you'll see that guy in every level, you know what I mean? Like, so not like amazing variety think there's like a decent, like a handful of like cool different like concepts for enemies, but they all kind of they'll repeat, and I could kind of see what you're saying. Like they're all kind of robot-y and stuff. Like,
all right. I think I'll be holding off on Sonic for a little bit, but
I kind of want to get it on Switch because it keeps going on sale. I really liked that game. Like, no joke. I think a lot of people are selling it a little short. Like other than the pop-in, that's kind of like my one big complaint, because it is like super noticeable, and I do think that the third level is kind of hard to get around. But other than that, I had like such a good time with that game. But anyways.
I have so much to play right now.
Yeah,
I really don't need it. Like, I keep looking at it, and it the price has dropped so much that it's very tempting. But
I didn't even. Do you play Sonic games, Tony? I didn't think that it was like a.
I haven't played a game like that in ages, which is kind of why I'm tempted.
It'd be interesting.
But I don't think it's gonna. I just got too many. Like. Midnight Suns comes out tomorrow. Like, there's just too many games right now.
It's really hard for me to say. Like, I was gonna say this on Twitter and I never did, but it's like, you know, is this a game that if you thought 3D Sonic games have sucked up until now, like, you'd like it? I don't know, because I like 3D Sonic games. Like, I think it's better than them, but I don't know, you know, if you don't
change anybody's mind.
Yeah. Like, I think it's definitely better than most of them. You know, maybe Generations isn't in the running with it, but I thought that this was really ambitious for a Sonic game, and for it to be like so ambitious in open world and still control really good, like, was super surprising to me. Like, you just don't expect, like Earl, like, you opened up by saying like Sonic does what I want him to do, like, which is like, you it's know, that's not what's the case.
it's a very old bar, but yes, that does not always happen.
And for them to pull that off in like a game of this scale was kind of neat. It was like really surprising.
Sega has a pretty good relationship with Game Pass, so I have a feeling that it may show up there sometime early next year.
I mean, the Sonic games, maybe Sega games in general, but the Sonic games always go on deep discount digitally. Like, so
have they appeared on Game Pass before though?
The Sonic games?
I don't think Sonic. But you're talking like $10. Like, Sonic Forces is constantly $10. So it's, you know, not a huge investment to check out at some point.
Yeah. Like, if it drops down, that's like an impulse buy. Just, I now have it. I might not play it right away, but it's like, if it were $10, I would definitely be like, okay, yep, it's there.
That's definitely worth that. Yeah.
And I don't doubt that it's worth, you know, 30 or whatever it is now. It's just with, you know, Tony and I both said, like, so many things to play.
Yeah.
One of those that I've been playing, I just started it actually tonight, Game of the Year nominee, A Plague Tale Requiem.
Oh, yeah.
Sequel to A Plague Tale. Which I liked. It's in that it's a cinematic action adventure game in the, you know, kind of Naughty Dog-ish. But it takes place in, you know, during the plague. So it's not set up like Naughty Dog where it's a cover shooter. It's like it's a little more stealthy involved, that one. And you play as a, you know, this girl who is escorting around her brother in that game. So combat wasn't really an option. Like, it was a lot of like sneaking and then kind of environmental puzzle solving because of these rats. This one, she's a little more adept at fighting. It's still a sling that you have, but she has some other weaponry up her sleeve. She can get a knife, and so you can lure guards in and then stab them. But it's still like a lot of like I'm gonna swing this rock around and hit people in the head from far off. It's kind of cool. Like I'm enjoying it. The puzzles just did this second level, which is huge. It takes place in like this Coliseum type area, and the rats are all around you. So you're trying to like light the different like you know torches and fire pits to keep them away, and figure out ways to cross and set up a you know the different mechanisms to kind of work through the rat swarm. I don't know, people like I mean it's on that Game Awards that's going to be next week. It's a nominee for Game of the Year there. I'm not seeing it yet. It's a very nice looking game. The voice acting's well done, but I don't know. It just feels more Plague Tale, which is not bad. It's just I wouldn't expect anybody to be like, oh my god, this is Game of the Year material.
Do those games have like the Uncharted level of production value?
It's. I think they look excellent and
okay.
It like the rat swarm. I guess if you were to like zoom in on them, they're not like super detailed, but like in as they move around, it's kind of like this like they're gross looking.
They don't feel like just because I honestly have no familiarity with the series at all. Like it doesn't feel like a budget title.
No. Like, I think it looks, like, really good. The voice acting's really good. I think the gameplay plays well. You know, you pick up resources to craft different ammo, which is then used to either, like, you know, fight enemies or to, you know, it's try to think of the word to use there. You either fight the enemies with the ammo or you're, like, using it to... I'm gonna set my sling, like the ammo in my sling on fire, so then I can throw it across the map and hit a torch, light that like torch.
Puzzle thing, yeah.
Yeah, so it's like you know you use them in different ways. I don't know. It does not feel low budget at all.
Okay.
Like it's very well done in that regard. Some people that I talked to said that like the narrative is really good, and I'm two chapters in. Out of 16, so I have not experienced a whole lot yet. But we'll see. Could be good. That original game veers off into like crazy town in the final two chapters there. It's pretty grounded up until then, and then all of a sudden it becomes like magic Inquisition priests and shit, and like that was weird. This starts out grounded as well, so and it actually doesn't really acknowledge what happened in the first like in the first game for the first two chapters. Like you get little glimpses of it, but it's I think the boy that you've been escorting, he doesn't remember any of it, so you're just not mentioning it to him to not upset him. So I don't know, we'll see. I will play more of that, but I also need to play Elden Ring, so
ooh.
And at some point, God of War Ragnarok. Tony, you play anything?
I haven't played anything new. I've spent a lot of time, actually. I started a new save file in Bannerlord. The game's economy is kind of weird, and if you don't understand it, you can totally fuck yourself, which is what I did. So, as I formulated my own kingdom, like, you start taking over castles and towns. And each one has like a garrison. Well, you have to pay the wages for the garrison. Unless the town is owned by a clan that's under you. Well, I took over five towns and five castles before I realized that I needed clans. so it got to the point where I was losing. Like, I literally couldn't not be at war with everyone because if I wasn't fighting battles and earning stuff by killing things constantly.
You didn't have money to
I didn't have money to pay my troops who would all leave. So I was like, this is not fun, so I'm starting over. So my The guy in my previous build was like, he was like a horse archer who had a sword. I wasn't very good with the sword. So in this one, I'm like, I like the horse archery, but I'm going to try a different weapon. So I decided to go with the two-handed axe. I don't know how much you guys know about warfare on horseback, but you can't actually wield a two-handed axe from horseback. But in the game, you would just fall off the horse. You would swing the axe once. The weight of the axe would carry you right off the horse and onto the ground. But in this game, you can. So you can see me charging into the formation of enemy infantry, wielding this axe and like throwing it in every odd direction. I am now death incarnate. So I don't know what it is about the two-handed. The nice thing about the sword was that I could carry a shield. I'm carrying the two-handed axe. I can't carry a shield. So, you know, enemies can hit me, but they don't often get a chance because the two-handed axe tends to kill them instantly. It also has, like, this really wide arc when you swing it. So you don't actually have to swing it very well. You just have to kind of swing it in the general direction of your enemy, and they die. So I'm going into battles now. Like I was in a siege the other day, and I spent the siege like I'm just waiting for that moment when my troops can break into the enemy castle and unleash, you know, me on the inside. It was a battle. I brought 200 guys. The enemy had 400. I killed 70 of them by myself. It's very amusing. I'm really enjoying the two-handed axe as being deaf. It's a lot of fun. I am actually super enjoying this game. It's a nice, like, there are strategy elements. They're pretty light. It's mostly about like fighting in battle and trying to fight well. And that's kind of been very appealing to me lately for some reason. I don't know what it is.
And you're playing that on PC?
I'm playing on PC, yeah. It's also on Xbox. It's also on PS5. Like, you can play it on pretty much anything at this point. The other game I've been playing a lot, NBA 2K23.
Your basketball guy get any better?
So I'm up to 76 overall. So I'm actually, when I'm playing a bad team, my player is as good as their, you know, worst players.
Okay.
But of course, I'm good at the game. So my player is now like putting up, like, I think I put 86 points up in a game the other day.
It's absurd.
It's like you just discover, like, I realized if my player comes and sets a screen at the top of the key, and the point guard, you know, rubs off the screen, if I jump back, hardly ever does either of the defenders follow me. So I'm wide open at the top of the key for an easy three-pointer. Basically half of the plays of the game. So I'm like I've broken the three pointers in a game record several times. I think it was 14 when I started, and then it was 16, and then it was 18, and then it was 20, and now it's 22. You know, so the entire game consisted of like watching me jack up threes over and over and over again. My player can't really do anything else. He's starting to be able to. He can make layups now with pretty good regularity. But you know, when he can't really dribble. So if I'm dribbling near a player on the other team, he tends to lose the ball. So I've gotten out of that now, but I try to avoid that. I avoid the defenders. If I can avoid a defender, get a nice wide open three-pointer, sign me up.
So how does progression work in NBA? Like, your dribbling isn't good. So, like, how does your ball handling improve?
There's a couple different ways it takes place. So, as you perform in a game, you get points. The points will allow your player to proceed to a higher overall rating. You can purchase specific skills with the game's currency, which are called VC. Every game, just by playing in the game, your player gets a salary, so you get like a base of VC. And then depending on what you do during the game, you'll get a grade from like F to A, and that grade will earn you VC. And then you literally get, like, if I hit a three-pointer, I get 3 VC. If I hit a two-pointer, I get 2. If I get an assist, I get 4 VC. So there's you get paid for your performance as well. Okay. So even if your player sucks, like when you're in the very beginning, when your player can't do anything, you're still earning a salary.
And it's which you can then use to advance.
Which you can use to advance them. So you use the VC to buy the specific skills. So like, having learned this bit about the 3-point, so I just put almost all of my VC into my 3-point shooting. And now I'm getting to the point where I want my player to do other, like I want him to be able to play defense, which has been a challenge because I have put no points into defense. So I'm a liability. It's a good thing my player can score 80 points because he probably gives up 50 just by being out there. Because the players, since I have no, like, my perimeter defense is like 20 something out of 99.
Right.
So like the guards and the other team just go right past me. I've gotten pretty good at like trying to slide my player around, but like and a lot of times when the AI realizes there's like any sort of resistance, they'll just give the ball up. But if they don't do that, if they try, they just still go right by every time. So I'm starting to like, I need to put some points into the, you know, my perimeter defense, maybe stealing the ball, that kind of stuff. And also, like, the farther up you get into the categories, the more the skills cost. So, like, now increasing my defense costs, like, 125 VC. But, you know, increasing my 3-point shooting by 1 point is going to cost me, like, 5,000. So you get to a point where you, like, it's better to broaden your skills because you get more bang for your buck.
Okay, that makes sense.
So, plus I'm also like, I've learned enough about 3-point shooting where raising my 3-point shooting value is really not going to change how well my guy does anymore.
Right, I mean, you're setting records, so you don't really need to advance it much more there. I played, and I'm going to butcher this. They say the name multiple times in the game. Kena Bridge of Spirits.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, it was announced for PlayStation. Very like cutesy looking.
It's a game about those little hard things that are like rice.
No.
Quinoa.
No, it's not quinoa. Bridge of Spirits. Kena, whatever, however you pronounce it. She is, she's a spirit guide. She, like, takes place in this kind of, like, it's just, like, a very vast area, but everything's been run over. It's all rusted down, and, like, this corruption type stuff has taken over. So, like, she is there to kind of push forward and clean all this up so she can reach the spirit mountain and do whatever she needs to do there. And along the way, she like meets up with these characters, and turns out they're all dead. So she's like trying to help them pass on to whatever the next realm is. They're like restless spirits. But the main core of the game is just like, and it's an action platformer. It's a 3D platformer with, you know, combat. The combat's really tough. I think Jeff would probably like it. I did not. I was like, I am not enjoying this shit at all. I am turning the difficulty down, and just like playing it as like a platformer. Even there, like the bosses are still, I've still found them a little bit challenging.
Yeah.
But platforming stuff I thought was really cool. You get each area, and I think there's 3 different areas that you have to do, and then like a final fourth area. Or final fourth boss, you get like different powers. That so your first area, she gets this bow and arrow, and so like the puzzles in that area kind of rely around using your bow and arrow to, you know, knock stuff over so that it lowers bridges and stuff. Second area, you get this water bomb, which you're then using to play with time, because there's these things, if you throw them on rocks, that are these magical rocks, like you throw it on there and then it'll pop up and put in a platform in for you to kind of do some platforming puzzles. And then the final one is this kind of dash that lets you dash through a different, it's like a barrier type thing. So you can kind of like work through that. And then as the game progresses, you're using all three of them in concert to kind of go through the entire thing. I found it really enjoyable. It's like 10 hours long. Unfortunately, Jeff, it's not on Xbox yet.
I was just looking it up. I'm like, why is this not on multi-platform yet? Like, it's on Windows, it looks like.
Yeah, I played it on PC.
It's bogus.
$20.
I'd buy it. On
PlayStation. Yeah, I think you would really like it.
Yeah, I like a Zelda type game. I was like, it looked like an indie Zelda.
You know? A little bit, yeah. Like, the areas are not like, they're not big temple areas, but it's more like you go into this one section of the world and you're going to kind of progress through there, do some tasks, and those tasks end up with a big boss, and the boss, like, you have to, you know, use the power for that area on there. The one thing I don't like is, like, early on you're going to face like these bosses, and then the game later on, those bosses just become regular enemies. So it's like, okay, this guy was a pain in the ass like the first time.
I hate when games do that. Now we're just throwing him on the map and he's...
Yeah, it's like, this is annoying. But I thought some of the boss battles were really cool. Like, you have to use your different powers to kind of like weaken them or open them up to different attacks. And the platforming, I thought, was really cool. There is one portion in it's the final boss, but the way it's structured is you take the boss down and then it kind of warps you to do like a second task. And in that task, right towards the end, is this like really cool platforming section where you're using all the powers that you've gotten to try and progress to the exit there. It's really neat. Really, really well done, I thought. So hopefully it hits Xbox at some point. I think it's been out for a year now, so maybe, unless Sony is like completely locked up console exclusivity on it.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's one that you'd like, Jeff.
Oh yeah, I had my eye on it. I was hoping it would come to Xbox, but I guess not.
And the other game played real quick, Asteroids Recharged. It's another one of the Atari Recharged games. It's just a really good version of Asteroids. I think they've done a great job with all of those Recharged games of updating them, and for like $5-$10, depending upon, sometimes they're on sale. So if you get them for like $5, they're really, really well done. They have like a lot of challenges to them.
Not to take it off this one, how's the Missile Command one?
Missile Command's good. That's actually the second. I got it on Xbox, but I had originally played it on Steam. The one that's on Xbox is an updated version. The one that is on Switch and Steam might have updated, but the one that was on Switch was touch-based, which is great because, you know, if you've ever played Missile Command, it's a lot of...
It'd be helpful, yeah, I guess.
Yeah, it would be helpful to just be able to point. And I thought playing with the mouse, very helpful.
Yeah.
But that didn't have any challenges. It didn't have any of the extra stuff that the other Recharge games have. It was also cheaper at the time. Now it's a normal price game. I think it's really, really well done. It works. Missile Command's interesting because it has an upgrade mechanic. So all the points you earn can then be used to upgrade your bases. You can upgrade the speed of your shots. You can upgrade the power of your shots.
Not after you die, right? Like, after you die, it's game over, like all the other Recharged, or no?
So, yeah, in this one, it's like you know, all your stuff dies, right? Like, you die, but then your points that you earned that game can then be used to upgrade going forward. It's a persistent thing. So.
Oh, okay. That's awesome. Because the other recharge games, I love them, but it's like you have one life, you die, that's game over. Like, you know, that was your
plan. Yeah. So this is still that, right? Like one life, you die. But there's like, as you're playing, you're upgrading and getting stronger. So like early on, it's like, I'm not like, my shots aren't fast enough. They're not strong enough. I'm not covering enough area. But then like you're upgrading how fast the towers recharge, how fast they repair themselves. Like if you blow one up, how quick the shots come out. So yeah, it's an interesting mechanic, and I think it was done because it was also on mobile, along with Switch and Steam. So it's like it was a way to keep people coming back and playing. You know, it's like here's this like weird upgrade mechanic that and they kept that in there for the Xbox and PlayStation 5 versions of it. I guess speaking of Missile Command, I actually played a real Missile Command machine for the first time over the weekend. Yeah, that has like the ball. I did pretty well on it. I set the high score on the machine, but I also think that they reset the machines every day. And I don't think anybody has played this machine since they put it in. I was at the Showboat, and the Showboat used to be a casino in Atlantic City. It is not anymore. It is like a giant Dave and Buster's. But not Dave and Buster's. It's a place called the Lucky Snake, and it's just this giant arcade. They have a huge retro area, full of like pinball machines, and then like a bunch of like old retro machines. Like, so that Missile Command game was there, and I tried that out. That's a weird casino now.
I don't think I've seen that one in the wild. I have seen an original Pong machine.
Really?
I think I did play it. Yeah. You know, like that weird looking, like.
Yeah. Kind of... It's like super, like space, today, it would look futuristic. Spacey,
yeah, futuristic. Yeah. It looks like the Jetsons or something.
Yeah. It's weird. Like, I don't know if any of Jeff, I'm assuming you've never been to Atlantic City. Earl, I'm not sure if you've been to the Showboat, or Tony, if you were ever at the Showboat. Really weird seeing, like, just arcade machines and a go-kart track on the gaming floor. Cause they didn't rip out the floor. It's still the old floor from when it shut down in 2016. So all they did was just like put arcade shit in place of like craps tables and card tables and slot machines. Very weird. Also, that entire casino smelled like pot, but
well, I guess it could smell like cigarettes.
It could, I guess.
I mean, have you been to Las Vegas in the past several years? I mean, it smells like pot everywhere.
Evidently, it's been 8 years since I was in Vegas. So.
Yeah, no, I think ever since they made it legal, it's just kind of a pervasive smell.
I remember the last time I went there, our flight got delayed, and we didn't check into like our hotel room till like 10:30 at night. By like 10:45, I had someone delivering weed to my hotel. It's like, it's wild, dude.
I do think it's legal in Jersey now, so so that could explain it.
Be legal in Maryland in 31 days.
Woohoo!
Come visit, Jeff.
Well, I'm off the pot. I don't like that. It makes me paranoid. Cocaine is cocaine? No.
No.
And it's not like cocaine can kill you. Pot cannot kill you.
Yeah.
Especially if bears take it.
That's true.
You guys play anything else?
I've played a few things.
Yeah.
Let me tell you about this one game called Elden Ring.
Oh.
Nope. You're not allowed to talk about
it. I have an actual story about it, though. It's kind of funny, or kind of.
Is it funny or is it just amusing to you?
Not funny. It's
question answered. All right, next subject.
It went from being funny to not funny.
Not funny. It's just an interesting anecdote because I've put probably 500 hours into Elden Ring, and I'm fucking around the other night. Like, I'll just like load it up sometimes because I'm like, these guys are gonna start playing, and I need to remember how to play. So like, I loaded it up the other night, and I'm dicking around, and I just stumble upon something I've never seen before. Like, which is crazy to me that I've like played that much, and I found something like I've never seen before. Like, I came to like this meadow with all these like blue flowers and like kind of a circle, and you know how you can like in like Dark Souls you'll see like ghosts of other players playing?
Yeah.
I saw like ghosts of other players going up a fucking spiral staircase, but it's just like above this field of flowers. I'm like, what the fuck? And then I saw this little imp statue, and I walked up to it and I interacted with it, and the imp statue gave me a map and it said, find these three phantom crests. And I was like, what the fuck? So I'm like exploring all around this area, like kind of looking at the map and then looking at my map and trying to figure it out. I find these three like blue like little statue thingies. And after I did that, it fucking created a fucking tower in that field, and it was called Mirage Rise. And you just, there wasn't much to it. You just like walk into the tower and you go up the staircase all the way to the top. But it gave me two spells, like one to make myself invisible and one to make my weapon invisible. And I was just like, I could not believe that there's still like, it's not like in a hidden, it's just like on the map somewhere. Like, I literally just stumbled on it. Like, stuff like that that I haven't seen. Like, and it was actually kind of a neat little, like, will I ever use those? Probably not. But, you know, it was just a neat thing to find. So, yeah, like, that game is big. I guess that, long story short, that game is fucking big.
So, Tony, have you started Elden Ring yet? Have you?
I have not. Okay. I installed it. I have the disc like sitting next to my Xbox, but that's as close as I've gotten. I haven't even put it in the Xbox yet.
I've also installed. Jeff, what type of character should I make?
The astrologer. This?
Like what it, like it's like some sort of mage, right? Like,
yeah, if you've seen like my videos, any videos I've posted in probably the last 6 months, it's an astrologer class.
You look like Mysterio.
Well, you won't look like that. That's like
that's if you have the cool stuff.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
like level 8,000. Like,
no, it's just a side quest you have to go down, and if you do the whole side quest, you'll get those items at the end.
Okay. You're gonna look like a guy wearing a sheet and a floppy.
Yeah, yeah, you look like. Exactly. You look like a classic wizard. But, you know, it'll give you, I think you'll start with like the comet spell, which is like, I still use that one a lot. It's just like, you know, you're shooting pew, pew, pew.
Right. Yeah.
And it's just the same thing like everyone's always said since the first game they ever made. It's like, it's just easier. But I think it's especially in like Elden Ring, like for whatever reason, like they've adjusted it since. But like they overpowered that class, and then like for like this, you know, sword and shield class is like just not adequate to fight some of these bosses, in my opinion. So do the astrologer. Well, I don't care. We'll fucking all three do astrologers. We'll fuck that shit up, man.
God.
Yeah, that's my short little Elden Ring story. I'm almost done with Bayonetta 3.
Yeah, I saw you said you were ready for it to be over.
Yeah, it gets like exhausting after a while. Like, it's just like, it's fun. I don't know. You've played those types of games, right? Like, it's just like, you're fighting a boss and you're like, think that's the end. And then, oh, it's another form. And oh, another form. And oh, another form. It's just like this never ending boss fight. And after like 12 hours or so, you're kind of ready to be done. But I guess I could give my opinion on this game because I literally have like one chapter left, so I'm almost done. Like, I don't think my opinion is changing. Feels a little dated, just like the look of it. I mean, that's partially just it's a Switch game, right?
Yeah.
I think that Bayonetta's combat is fun and it has always been fun. Like, and that core is there. Again, it gets a little tiresome after a while. Where you're just like. Because it's not hard or anything. Like, it's just like you're just mashing buttons. And in fact, I actually like bought an upgrade that, like, if you just keep mashing like the punch or kick button, it'll do whatever combos you have without you having to actually do the combo.
You could just buy an upgrade and, like, with your whatever currency you get in the game.
Yeah, yeah. You won't get it till late because it costs a lot. I saved up my money for it. But I was, because, like, that's all I really do anyways. I don't sit there and learn all the combos in these games like that. Like, punch, punch, kick, punch, punch. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not going to fuck all that. I just press buttons. And this makes that he look cool doing that. Like, just pressing the buttons. But every, like, new thing that Bayonetta 3 tries, like, you know, to kind of, like, give the game a little bit of variety and kind of switch things up a little bit, you know, like, Bayonetta 2 would do stuff, too, like, to try to just something so it's not just fight after fight after fight after fight. Every new thing that they try in this to do that, like, kind of sucks, and it's pretty lame. And, like, there's, like, another, I think I told you guys this is, like, another characters you play as sometimes, and it's just, like, I don't know. She doesn't feel as good as Bayonetta. Like, her bullet time is harder to do. It's shorter, and it's just like, I just want to play as Bayonetta. Like another thing they try is like these like little 2D stages. Sometimes they're just not very good. You know what I mean? So it's just like, I don't know. Bayonetta 3 is a very okay game. Like, it's not bad. It's just like,
not the revelation to you that Bayonetta 2 was.
No, yeah. I think 2 was kind of a revelation to me just because I'm, like, not super familiar with that genre. And I was just like, oh, I didn't think I liked this. Like, I thought it was too close to, like, to a beat-em-up. But I played Bayonetta 2, like, just because, like, everything was so over the top and crazy. And she's so charming and, like, a cool personality that I was, like, won over by it. But now it's, like, playing this one, I'm like, all right, like, this is just more of that, but not. I think Bayonetta 2 is better than 3. I mean, it's been forever since I played it, but
they did release 2 on Switch, right? Like, I know it was a Wii U game. Yeah, okay.
What was that, Earl?
No, I said all 3 of them on Switch.
Okay, cool. Yeah. I think, we're going by memory of a game that's almost 10 years old, but I thought 2 was, like, better.
But I didn't play 2. 1 was fine. Like, I played it on 360. I never played 2. And so maybe I'll take a look and see if it goes on sale or something on Switch and pick up 2, try it out.
I like her as a character, and I do think that the combat feels fun. Like, when you dodge, right, as you're getting attacked, and it activates the witch time, like the bullet time. Yeah. It just feels good. Like, it's just a... Again, it's never hard because you can always just buy a billion like health potions. It doesn't matter, but it just feels fun. So yeah, I mean, maybe I'll say next week how I feel about the game overall, but I don't think it's changing. It's an okay game, like nothing amazing. And I guess the one other thing I wanted to mention is the Sonic Origins, which I think
the collection. I bought that collection as well. Yeah.
Do you mess around with it yet?
Not yet, no.
I think I was telling you off air about it. Like, you know, get nice widescreen presentation, and mm-hmm. you know, it's in 4K. It runs super smooth. I started finally, like, I've played Sonic CD before, but I've never beaten it. I think I played it on the 360. I think I own it. I think I could still play that version.
Mm-hmm.
But man, it looks really great on this new package. I mean, they all, like, I've played some of Sonic 2 also. Like, again, it's still that game, but man, it just, like, fucking pops. Like, it just looks really, like, Sonic CD looks really good. And Sonic CD is, like, an interesting game because, like, I think even at the time or whatever, it kind of looked better than the other, or at least it looked a little different than the other, like, the 16-bit ones, you know, because it had a little more power to it. And the sound is a little, like, better, but it's weird. Like, Earl, have you played Sonic CD?
I played it several times. It was on the, I think the first time I played it was on one of the GameCube collections. Is that Mecha collection?
Yeah.
But yeah, I played it a few times.
I find the time travel, I always get tripped up on it. I finally, like, looked up what it is, but I'm always like, what is this time travel mechanic? It makes no sense. I guess I looked at it, like, I don't think it really matters or does anything. I think it just changes the level, right? Like, it just makes.
I mean, that does do something.
But what does it do?
I mean, it changes the level you just said. And I think there's certain parts of the level you have to go through, in like the past and future, or one or the others. To like one part might be rusted, and you have to go back to like the past before, or something. I don't think it comes up that often, and I do think there's some aspect of.
Oh really? Yeah. I've not run into that yet. Like all I could tell is that like it
no
makes
pun.
The level look different. What's that?
No pun. You said I haven't run into that, Sonic.
Oh. yeah, but like all I could tell is that it like, kind of like changes the look of the level. I think so I finally like Googled like what is the time travel in Sonic CD, and like I think the one thing I saw it said is like if you go into the future, there's like more coins or more rings. It's like okay, great. And it's a weird like it's weird how you time travel because it's like one of those little like goalpost things that you go through that like spin, and then it's like you have a certain amount of time to just keep running. If you run fast, it's kind of like a Back to the Future. If you're going 88 miles an hour, you'll do the time travel. So it's like if you run long enough, you'll do the time travel. But yeah, it always like tripped me up before playing the game. I thought it was more like what you were just saying, where it's like, oh, it's like there's some sort of puzzle to it. But as far as I can tell so far, like it's just like a thing that's there. Like, what do you think of Sonic CD? Do you think it's like one of the better ones?
Yeah, but I think it has a reputation of being like the best. And I mean, especially now with Mania, I would say it's probably 2-3 Knuckles and Mania before that. Like one, I mean, I think Origins changes this, and I could be wrong. One is always going to be odd for me because it doesn't have the spin dash. And that is just such a vital move to the character that it's so hard for me to go back to it.
It's like an okay game, but I hear you. I'm with you on it. Yeah. Anyways, I think that's a good package. Like, I don't know if it's still at the $20 sale price, but like, I think that's like a good price for that package. Yeah, you've played these games a million times before, but they like look really nice here. And it also, you know, you don't have save states, but it saves your progress as you're going through them, and you don't have to worry about lives. So I
get it.
I'm enjoying that.
I get it. It's so fun to hear though, because like Sonic. The same thing with old school Mario. Our games you could beat in one sitting, and I mean a reasonable one sitting. I'm not talking like 8 hours.
Yeah,
you can
beat
like
any
hours,
Sonic game in like 2 hours, if that. So it's weird, like save. I'm like, I get it, but it's just like, yeah.
Well, I think so Jeff, what you're saying with this is that like if you run out of lives, it's not like game over. Like
there's no lives.
So like it will just keep dropping you back at the
last save the last
check,
goal post
the checkpoint and I think that was what the right like in the old games like if you died like you're done like game over start back at the beginning.
Sonic 2 gets tough at the end and you know you only have so many continues, you know what I mean, like and this is just like I like it, like they're still making you play through the level legit, but you just can play it as many times. I like that. I liked how they did that. Like that was a cool thing that they implemented. And they just look crisp and they look as good as they've ever looked. And for $20, I think at first Chris I was like, I've played these games so many times, but just you know Sonic CD I guess I haven't. And just playing it now I'm like, man, it's just like this looks as good as Sonic Mania. It looks great, like you know. So I recommend it to Sonic fans. I don't think I'd recommend it at $40 because it's kind of insane. But
I have a feeling it'll be on sale again before the end of the year. It's funny that's at like $20 or $23 or whatever it is, and then the brand new Sonic game
$6 more.
Yeah, kind of nuts. But.
You get them both. I say they're both really cool.
All right. Anything else, you guys?
Well, I mean, it's not news, but a piece of news. Mario had a new trailer this week.
That's true. How is that not news? That's actual news.
I guess it is. Well,
I mean,
I kind of forgot.
It's not really news, except it's a thing that we did not know about before.
I liked it.
Oh, I think it's great. I think, I mean, I was sold. I mean, I don't have a problem with Chris Pratt.
He sounds fine.
Like, yes, it's yeah, not like, it's not world changing, but like, yeah, it's not like the way people talk about it. Like, if it was awful, I'd get it. It's fine, which I understand is also an issue, but it's fine. It's not terrible. It's not, just nothing special.
Yeah, I'm also not sure, like, what do you want out of, like, the Mario voice, right? Like,
yeah, he can't sound like Charles Martin that the entire time.
Not for, like, actual dialogue. Not for an entire, like, feature-length movie. It would drive you insane.
I think in the trailer he does like a wahoo or whatever that kind of like,
he does, yeah.
Yeah, it kind of sounded like it to me, you know. I don't know.
He said that. Well, I mean, yeah, and I think that, I mean, I think that's a go will be different. I mean, I think they'll have like one big like epic one. But yeah, it's a character who in the course of he's 40. I think Mario celebrated his 40th anniversary recently. Has probably spoken 20-25 I don't even say lines of dialogue, phrases. And people haven't, like, if anything, people should be disappointed he doesn't like the cartoon, because that's where he spoke, and that's where he.
Hey, you're erasing the cartoon. Those two fucking live actors that would introduce the cartoon, and
Captain Lou Albano.
And dude, you know this movie's not going to be as good as the original. Come on! Never
I mean, what can be? What can be?
Oh God! Bob Hoskins, baby.
I liked all the callback to like Donkey Kong and all the game. Like there's Mario Kart sequence in the trailer. There's
they put as much things in there.
Yeah,
show you like, that, like they're gonna reference.
Yeah, it's like all this stuff. I know all this stuff from Mario, right? Like the Cheep Cheeps
The thing that I was actually surprised by, and not surprised, but they pulled it off in a way that makes sense. I mean, we'll have to see the full movie. Is the actual platforming and like just the floating structures?
Yeah,
like, they put that in. I'm still kind of curious how it makes sense in the movie. But I'm like, oh no, they made it sense, especially in 3D, because like some of those challenges are 2D challenges, like the fire wheel. Like that's a 2D challenge. You can't really do that in 3D. You can just walk around that.
Yeah,
but
the Cheep Cheeps, like it looks like he's running through a Mario level, and they like what
just jump up and ate his face.
Yeah, and I was like, it's clearly. I don't know. I guess what do you expect? I guess what do you expect? But like it's drawing from the games a lot. Like,
yeah, and that's what I was going to say. You could clearly tell Nintendo's had a lot more influence on this one than they did the live-action movie. Because this looks like, yes, these are the characters. These are the stage. The music has the reference to the musical theme. There's Mario Kart. They, you know, they updated Donkey Kong's actual model, which I actually do like. Even sometimes it's a bit derpy, but I do like the overall 3D model for him. People pointed out like Funky Kong is in there. There's a bunch of different Kongs in there. I like the little toads and their little vests and bow ties. So yeah, I think they're doing. And I would also say, just to give them a bit of credit, I think that the actual rollout has actually been really good. Like they've made these trailers actually feel like a thing by tying them to directs and having like little segments with Miyamoto talking about it. Like I think the direct itself was like 5 minutes and half of that was a trailer, but like it's a thing. Like it's like they announced it, people were excited, people were anticipating it, people watched it, and I saw a lot of people like, why didn't they save this for the Game Awards? Because you are the conversation now. You are not one of 20 announcers.
Yeah.
You are the conversation. Like you could have had this at the Game Awards, and they might still have a tiny thing in the Game Awards. But you go from like, oh, that looks really cool. What's next? And like, oh, IGN has it. Game Experience. I've seen several videos on YouTube. Not watching them. I've seen several videos on YouTube where people are breaking down the trailers and like what's in it, like references. I'm like, I still don't get how Game Experience has an hour and a half video on a 3 minute trailer, a 2 minute trailer. But that is their MO. So.
I'm kind of looking forward to it. I think it's going to be fun.
Sure.
Yes, yes, it's going to be so much more fun than Elden Ring.
I do think that, like, going back to what I was like saying about though, is like even more than Sonic the Hedgehog, it seems to draw from the games. Like, Sonic the Hedgehog is like, let's take this character, put him in the real world, and like do a fish out of water type thing. You know what I mean? Like, this is like all within. It seems like all within the Mushroom Kingdom, and I don't know. It could be good.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I think
it's gonna make a lot of.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I'm very sometimes irritable with tweets, and somebody mentioned they took screenshots when people are talking about how this is gonna bomb at theaters. So I did a little research, and I was like,
no.
It there's like no real competition in either direction for some time. And I mean that in both the sense that I don't know the next big Famy film.
Dude, it's going to make.
but yeah, the closest movie to it, I think, is Shazam. It's 2 weeks before that. And then I think the movie after that would probably be Guardians, which is like 3 weeks after. So it has like a clear runway of like no actual Like, there's no Disney or Pixar movie in like the first quarter of next year, I think. We don't, you know, there's no Shrek, there's no Sing or Secret Life of Pets or Minions or anything like that. So it's like a clear runway. Like, I think I don't want to be, you know, but I see this doing really, really well. Like, I'm thinking, and I know this is, but I'm thinking at least $500 million at minimum worldwide.
Well,
sounds fair.
I'm calling it out, but minimum, I think it'll be outperforming Guardians. I dude, it's gonna make a fuckload of money for them.
It looks like it looks
if it's
like
not terrible. Fine though.
But even if it's terrible, like I think, like I mean, from what I saw, I mean,
it doesn't look bad.
It looks good. I mean, everybody I've spoken to, and I mean, like, you know, us and the circle, but like people like. I've had people tell me like their kids have watched it countless times, because again, like Mario's kind of like Mickey Mouse in that he's universal. Everybody knows him, even if you don't haven't played the games. And
because, like how good Sonic did, and it's like he's not really that relevant. Like kids don't play like the Sonic games as much, you know. Kids know Mario, dude.
I will say that. What was I going to say? I will say that I do think that Sonic is more relevant to Mario in the mainstream in the sense that Sega has always been good at keeping Sonic around in a way that Mario isn't. Because like Sonic, even aside from the movie, Sonic has had animated series almost constantly since the mid-90s. He has a running comic book series that's been going since the 90s. You know, like he will, like you'll see costumes for Sonic in a bunch of various games and stuff. Like the only way you get Mario is Mario games right now. And I think that I think actually that works in the favor of the movie because it's like the first time really that two generations are going to see Mario out. Because the last time Mario's really been outside of video games was the 93 movie. And that is 30 years next year.
And this looks more like what I think people expect from Mario.
Yes.
Yeah, a little bit. I need to get a Blu-ray of that fucking old one. I haven't seen it in fucking since it came out.
That's a fever dream.
It's not on Blu-ray as much as it pains me. I think you can get the European version, but there's no
American. Come on, Stout Factory. Get on it. Put that shit in the Criterion Collection or something. Like, bring it back. I think Nintendo doesn't want it out there.
No, and I think that's very much. I think that has been the case. That like I think it's probably. I mean, it's also not necessarily like the highest movie, but yes, I think it's been buried. And I'm not even going to say secretly. I think it's just been buried, which is why
it is like kind of a film history though, because like I think that might be the first video game movie.
It is.
Yeah. So,
like licensed video game movie.
I think in general. Because, like, what else would there have been?
If not, it's, like, the first big one. No,
like, I mean, there are movies that, like, centered around games in the past. What's the one where it's the star, the space one where the kid gets sucked into the...
Yeah, but that's not like, that's not based on a video.
It's right. It's not like, that's what I was like, are we...
I can't think of the name of it right now. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. I kind of like that one. It's fun.
Yeah. But yes, I mean, and like I said, there's Tron, there's war games and stuff like that.
No.
Where there are games, but like actual video game movies, Mario is considered the first. And sadly, I've seen way too many of them. Because then I think the second one is Double Dragon, which I think a lot of people forget exists.
That one's not good.
I mean, none of these are really good. I think, I mean, if they were good, we would not be in a point state now.
It's true.
Where, you're still kind of, I think we all think Mario looks good, but you're still kind of in the back of your head thinking, this could still go south. But yeah, because, I mean, I think Sonic has done a decent job of, and that's weird to say, normalizing, nothing else, they're enjoyable. I think Street Fighter, Mortal Kombat, I will say enjoyable, but I think most people consider bad. I don't think people consider them bad movies, but they're not good movies, which is a really weird, nuanced way of saying that they're enjoyable without really being great.
They're fun. Yeah, they're fun trash.
Yeah. I got it. Where I would say stuff like Detective Pikachu and Sonic are actually well-made movies that are entertaining. I would also say the same thing about the new Mortal Kombat. I think that's a decent movie. I don't think it's that enjoyable, but it's a decent enough movie.
It had some fatalities. I was on board when it came out.
Yeah.
Killed some shit.
They did. Video game movies have come a long way since 1993, so...
But I do feel like there's still... I think it's going to be I think next year is the year. We're going to have the Mario movie, and I think The Last of Us looks incredible. I see the trailer for that on HBO all the time. I'm like, man, this looks better than that's kind of, the source material was also better than a typical video game narrative.
I will say this about The Last of Us, and nothing to knock that. I think we've done I don't make any of these. I think they've done a better job in the realm of TV with stuff like Castlevania and Arcanine.
Yeah, I guess. I haven't watched those, but like...
But to me, live action, yes, I think...
Okay, but okay, Castlevania, maybe it's great, right? I think your average fucking person is not going to just turn on Castlevania. I think your average person that maybe has never heard of The Last of Us, doesn't play video games, will watch The Last of Us on HBO. Because it's, this is a new HBO show,
It's on HBO, yeah.
Yeah.
They won't even know it's a video game, really, in most cases.
And yeah. it doesn't look like something that's been based on a video game. It just looks like the next HBO show.
Yes. I would, the one thing I would point out as much is you say that HBO is also a very, very tiny market. I would assume, Castlevania probably will end up being seen by more people. But to your point, I can see it being talked about more because there's always been that divide between animation and live action.
HBO is considered prestige, where Netflix is not.
Yeah. It's just Castlevania, I really enjoy, but that's just another show on Netflix. Where HBO has been promoting The Last of Us since August. That is an event for them.
The trailer's fantastic. It sells you on it. Some beautiful shots in it. Man, I'm looking forward to it, even though I think I feel like I know where the story goes. It looks like it's adapting the
game. Yeah, it's just the first movie, right?
Yeah. So, but man, it looks really good. I think that and Mario are going to be the ones that was actual good adaptations of video games.
Yeah. And then we have a Gran Turismo movie next year too, which I still don't get.
Yikes. Yep. I forgot about that. I don't know what that is.
I don't either. There's like that's supposed to make some sense, but this like I don't actually. And this I'm sorry. This is just I'm just looking at because the Borderlands movie. Because we had that whole thing with the was it Summer Game Fest last year where they did the whole behind the scenes stuff with the movie, and we've seen hide or hair of it at all in a year and a half.
Yep.
Like, movies don't typically take that long to film and edit. Like,
So many games right now have been optioned.
Yes, but this one's film, which is the thing that's confusing.
Yeah, that does sound weird, right?
He was on set at that Summer Game Fest. Like, yeah, like I'm just trying to think about movies that have been announced, shot, and released in the time since then. Because even major blockbusters, like, I think Ant-Man has filmed since then.
Borderlands has been done filming since June of 2021. We'll see. Yeah, I don't know where that, like, it doesn't take 2 years to do visual effects, so.
Delved.
Oh, evidently, this is according to Wikipedia, but evidently on November 9th, test screenings were held for it.
Oh boy.
So maybe sometime next year I'll get that Borderlands going on.
Like it's not even me like, oh man, I want the Borderlands movie. It's more me being like the guy who like all those movies being like,
where did it go?
Yeah. Like, it's finished filming a year and a half ago. Why are you sitting on it? Like,
it's so awesome. They can't wait for everyone to not see it.
Yeah, like you'd think, like, if nothing else, you'd have, like, set picks or, like, the characters. Like, you have big names, but it's, like, Jet Black. I think Jamie Lee Curtis is in it. Kevin Hart, maybe?
Kate Blanchett, Kevin Hart, Jack Black, Jamie Lee Curtis. They're the ones that are jumping out at me.
Yeah. So, like, that's a decent cast. You had Jamie Lee Curtis all, I mean, like, she was really out promoting Halloween Ends 2 months ago. Nobody asked her a question about, like, are you excited for the Borderlands movie? Because, like, yeah, I mean, you've seen those runways where somebody will be promoting something else, and it's like, oh, you're in the newest comic book movie. How is that feeling? And it's like, I'm just trying to promote the Lighthouse, for example. Because I know Patterson got asked that about the Batman a lot, so.
Oh, it's an Eli Roth film, so that's a thing.
Well, that I mean, that was what I was trying to get at without getting at, is like already hiding it. They didn't finish filming, and they're like, we can't edit this for the life of us. Because, again, it's been a year and a half. Like, something, even a general release date.
Yeah. We'll see, I guess.
We will see indeed.
I will have Callisto Protocol next week. And it'll be the Game Awards will be going on as
the Killies, as we like to call them.
Yeah.
Yes. I will say, and I could be mistaken, he hasn't really teased anything this year, has he?
Not yet. It's weird. It's a week out. Normally he's like, I have my list of announcements. There's going to be 7 billion announcements.
Yeah.
Like, of Sekiro 2. Which would be like the one game that they could do that I would not care about.
Has that been rumored?
Yeah, like as a reveal at the Game Awards. And I could actually see that being true because Sekiro 2 is something you could have a smaller team working on while you make Elden Ring content or Elden Ring 2. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like Sekiro is like a not open world or, and not even like it's shorter, it's straight to the point. It fucking is sane, and I don't want to play more Sekiro. So, but I could see it being true. Yeah.
Might try out that Warhammer 40K Darktide.
Yes, I've heard a number of people say that's good.
Yeah, I think.
Where is that, dude? Is it not on Xbox?
It is.
The PC game.
It's not. It is. It is not yet.
I hate you, Sean.
It is to be announced. It is coming.
He's telling me about these games I can't fucking play. You should play Valheim. You should play Darktide. He like posted that picture of Darktide. I'm like, oh, that looks so cool. I go to look for it on Game Pass. I cannot find it. Check the store. Can't find it. Like, this is fucking PC probably, man.
It is coming to Xbox. It is just
is everything, but
not there yet.
I'm not with you cool kids on the PC.
Yeah, maybe I will try and jump into a match or something with Sean on that. My PC should be able to run it. So we'll be back to talk the Game Awards next week. Then we're going to induct some more games into the Hall of Fame before taking a break for the end of the year.
Woo, end of the year,
catch up break. On all those games.
Break.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to do, catch up on the games.
There you are.
Yeah. Could use Elden Ring as a coaster, yeah.
As I noted time and time again, connecting video games and playing video games are two different hobbies. And we should totally have an award for the best video game that you bought and haven't touched yet.
We can add that in, Earl.
I kind of pride myself on actually playing most of the ones. I'm sure there's a few instances of me just buying something and not playing it, but I've been pretty good the last few years on that.
I was pretty good. I did not buy Gotham Knights because I'm like, I'm not going to get to it anytime soon, and there's a chance that it will be on Game Pass in the new year. I was like, I thought I was very reserved. I bought Sonic because I thought it was such a great deal, and I am playing that one, but I was like, and I got the Cowabunga collection, which I've not opened. But that was more just for a collector's item. But I'm like, yeah, there's a lot of games I just own. I just own them for the sake of owning them at this point.
That's fair.
I think this time of the year, I sometimes buy too many games for me to keep up with, but I've actually somehow... I didn't buy that many this year during Black Friday, and then I have kept up with them, so I'm proud of myself.
Good. Well, we'll be back to discuss the Keelys next week.
That's why I'm referring to this. From here on out, it's the Keelys.
All right. Well, join us next week for the Keelys. Jeff, say goodnight.
Goodnight.